Three, two, one.
Oh. Sorry.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
I'll just have to tell them I'm not a thief. Just a pervert.
I go to pull the tubing off of the hot end and it wouldn't come off.
So you got her pregnant, huh?
Well, you were making it for young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a link it bad. For the strolling, go direct to DLNGS.org. And I see challenges at linuxday.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 813 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Happy summer.
We have Joel.
Yo, yo.
We have Flying Rich.
From the Hughes Outpost Orlando Command.
And we have Joe.
Hello, hello.
Excellent. I gotta run for a second. They might need me for something at work.
Cool.
So I will be right
back. What?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's not my fault this time.
Dan is on the 92nd SLA.
Mm-hmm. And he left his mic on. You sound like you're about to hit a home run at Yankee Stadium. In your farewell game in 1936.
Yeah, he's clipping. Pretty bad, too.
I don't know what I'm clipping.
A little bit.
Exactly.
But at least he didn't cause another 3-hour outage this time.
That's a
maybe
plus.
Not.
Wait, I didn't break YouTube.
Rich, I saw your infomercial for Chrisanne Hall, you and your wife.
Oh, cool.
You didn't let your wife talk enough, man. You talked too much. You hogged
it. Well, we did like two cuts, and Chrisanne Hall picked that one.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyhow. Yeah, we're going to be going back. So if Chrisanne Hall is a constitutional scholar and she teamed up with the bearded black cowboy, oh gosh, Larry, what's his last name? I don't remember. He's in Gainesville, Texas, and he does firearms training. And so it's like August 30th. You know, it's Memorial Labor Day weekend. And so we'll be out there.
What is it, a two-day?
Yeah, I think it's like a Friday night, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, so it's a three. What's the round count? 1,500? 1,000?
I left early last time, so we probably shot about 500 apiece.
That's not that bad for a couple of days.
It's really good training, a lot of information about weapons retention, how to do close in combat, different techniques, some stuff we had to sign an NDA for because he's probably going to be coming out with something in the future, but fantastic training, really good training. And Pat heard the shtick already because he saw the infomercial, but I went there thinking I wasn't going to learn anything and everything he taught was something new to me.
And she's a fantastic speaker. You can go listen to her stuff on her podcast, on a website, and, very good stuff from her.
Oh yeah, she's, we saw her in person, I don't know how many years ago, it was at the Libertarian Party in West Palm Beach. And, she, super nice, you know, we got to shake her hand, buy her book, that kind of thing, a couple years back. But it was really fun being with, Chrisanne and JC and her son hanging out. And, you know, my wife texts with her all the time now, and
that's
she's
cool.
Probably going to be coming out to talk at, the Jupiter. Actually, we have Palm Beach County. We have three Tea Party meetings. So she's probably going to be coming out. I think she's booking out like a year and a half in advance. So she's coming out, probably going to be staying at our house and, going
Look
to the
that,
Tea Party
Rich,
meetings.
Hanging out with Chrisanne Hall.
Yeah, it's really Terry. Terry's really got hooked on that big.
I was looking to go see her live and the closest place was like Long Island. And I was like, I hate driving out there.
Yeah, she was out there, I think earlier this year.
If it was like somewhere like in Jersey or like Philly, I probably would have went. Even DC, I might have been tempted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll keep you in the loop. on when she's coming out.
I go to her website and check her dates, and she's got so much crap on there, man. Mm-hmm. She's all over the place.
Yep. So we got a little Linux Fest happening this weekend.
What?
Yeah, Southeast Linux Fest starts Friday. I'm driving down tomorrow, solo mission again.
And tomorrow's Thursday.
Tomorrow's Thursday, yes. So, got the rest of the week off, so I can go and...
6 hours, you can do that with non-stop, right?
Yeah, except for, you know, my 48-year-old bladder probably can't hack that anymore, but, you know, I'll make at least one pet stop.
Well, stuff that depends, man.
Yeah, right?
Just like, yeah, that's what the astronauts do.
I was going to say, what was that crazy astronaut? I can't remember her name. Oh, God, was that funny. I think she's in jail, though,
too. She went to go murder her, like, her lover's wife, right?
Lisa, yeah.
Awesome story.
First off, all astronauts are a doctorate in some science.
Oh, yeah.
So they're like, off the charts smart, and most of them are, you know, military of some sort, pilot, something like that.
Not all.
Lisa Nowak.
So, I mean, talk about, you know, all right, anytime you think you're going to get away with a murder, you've already, you know, just removed yourself from society. That you're done. You're out. But that, I mean, really, all of that work, all of those, you know, crazy years, crazy hours, crazy hard work to obtain that crazy high goal, and you're throwing it all away.
Well, ironically, the one that did that, she was only a pilot from the Navy. So she was a test naval flight officer. So she was a shuttle pilot. So...
But don't you think you'd have more of your crap together? Not to, like, go
one
down that path?
One would hope.
Which I guess, as far, and I should have taken up psychology because I really enjoy it. I guess there's just effed up people everywhere. You know, it doesn't matter. Uh-huh. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, doctorate genius, test pilot, what.
Oh, she was a Florida woman too, because it happened at Orlando.
Are you saying it's like in the water here in Florida?
I think it is, man. Everyone down there is freaking nuts. I swear.
You know, there's a FloridaMan.com website.
Yeah. And I think I heard that they're making a movie called Florida Man.
I thought it was a TV series.
Or Milky Way was TV. I can't remember, but it's just the crazies are down there. And if they're not down there, they're in California. Hence our pal Link.
See, all right, here's the problem. It's not like there's more crazies in Florida. What it is that the weather is better for the crazies.
So they're all
out. Because in Chicago, they 8 months of the year, you're locked inside trying to stay warm.
Unless you're trying to get a sub at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, can I have a news with that? I mean, just no, I'll just have the sub.
Yeah. So, but it'll be a good trip. You know, like I said, probably one trip. Well, I don't know.
Dude, are you on Instagram?
I am. Yeah, I'm there. I just don't log in very often.
You gotta IG the trip. That's what I did when I drove to Ohio and back.
Yeah, no.
You gotta do the trip vlog. Pebbles and I did.
I may do some video, but...
Not only did I drive 14 hours to Ohio, but I brought the bird with me.
Pebbles, right?
Yep. Yeah, he's chilling with me right now.
Wasn't that the name of the, was it the, yes, it was the,
Daughter from the Flintstones.
No, well that, yeah, but no, there was a hamster named Pebbles that got flushed from the airplane. It was a mental health hamster or something. I can't remember.
That was Atlanta Airport. Yeah, that was an effed up story. Can you imagine? So this girl, all right, people, you know, you got your emotional support peacock and stuff
That's
like that.
That's an emotional support hamster, right.
And it's an emotional support hamster. Apparently this was a real thing for this girl. They're like, well, you can either let him go or flush him down the toilet. And I'm like, who's making, like, so you get this TSA guy that was delivering pizza the day before, making up the rules for this shit. Hey, really, this is crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, I just thought this was funny. Spirit Airlines originally told her the pet was allowed, but denied it at the entry at the airport. Well, here's my thing, too. All of your stuff, when you're going through TSA, I mean, wasn't the hamster probably had to be x-rayed?
Probably the funniest story, I was, I love the people from Southwest because they all got a good sense of humor. So mm-hmm. I'm at West Palm Beach Airport. And, I was just talking to one of the ladies, one of the gate agents, like, she didn't have flight coming up, she's just doing some initial paperwork, and I forgot what I had a question about, but I was talking to the lady. And I said, you know, I've always had a question, I know you can take cats and dogs on the plane, can I take a bird? She's like, no, you can't take a bird. I'm like, but my bird identifies as a cat, he meows. She's like, please leave now.
Yeah, no emotional support dogs or cats will be with me.
No, apparently this whole emotional support animal is all you have to do is declare because of the, I don't know if it's ADA, you have to do is declare that they're an emotional support animal. Doesn't matter what they are, boa constrictor. They're not allowed to ask any further questions.
Yeah, they're starting to crack down on it, though. They're going to have to, because it's just ridiculous. Like, I think there was a story, like a dog or a cat or somebody bit somebody on that plane or peed or pooed or whatever. It's like, you know, doesn't really matter what it was. It's happened, I'm sure. But, so I'm looking forward to that. On the Linux 10 front, I actually... switched my PowerBook. That's like my play machine now, since that's about all it's good for. PowerBook G4, I think running at 1.5 gigahertz, a single core, with I think it has 2 gigs of RAM.
Joel, as much as I like old hardware and I think it's cool, time to flush it down the toilet like that.
Well, maybe, but yeah,
You need a BlendTech blender is what you need.
Yeah. There's a distribution out there of a basically based, it's a adjusted version of Debian SID. If you have a G5, actually, you can actually install it. They have an ISO for it. But there was a way that you can install it on the G4, which that's the other thing too, is the G4 is 32-bit processor where the G5 is 64-bit. So, in this day and age, there ain't too much that's 32-bit anymore. Not even not even 386s and 486s are supported by Linux anymore. At least the most commonly available Linux distributions, unless you're a Gentoo ricer, which Gentoo is supported under PPC still. So. But maybe one of these days I'll try doing that just so I can learn Gentoo, but no. Sorry, Jeremy. Jeremy sends the Southeast Linux Fest dictator-in-chief.
So he's both the two of his talks were accepted. What are his talks on?
That is a good question.
Tell us what your talks are on. Now, of course, Greybeard sent us the schedule.
Well, I kind of need to look at that anyway.
Where does it say Murph? I don't see where it says Murph.
Bob Murphy, maybe?
He has a name other than Murph? Tell me.
Yeah. So. Brief introduction to GNU screen.
Bob Murphy, yeah.
And create your CentOS home lab in about an hour. I'm going to have to go see his stuff. And both of those are in the AltaSpeed Ballroom, sponsored by AltaSpeed Technologies, owned by Noah Chalai of Ask Noah. Speaking of which, if you haven't listened to this week's Ask Noah, there is a good preview of the Southeast Linux Fest. Jeremy is on it. They talked a little bit about Gentoo during that show as well. So very good stuff. Looking forward to that.
So, what is create your own CentOS home lab in an hour? What is a CentOS home lab? I know it's going to be a couple of CentOS installs.
CentOS is an OS. I'm wondering if he's just talking about installing CentOS or maybe he's talking about KVM. I guess I'll find out because it will go to that.
Alright. That's different. I mean, Oracle packages KVM also and has it as their OVM, their Oracle virtualization.
It could be Docker too.
But it's pretty, the Oracle virtualization is pretty awful.
Alright. There's another one I want to take. Emergency radio communications with the Raspberry Pi. I want to have to check that one out. And, I'll have to print out the schedule and highlight the ones I want to go to. Or
so are the talks going to be recorded? Because I'd actually like
they
to
are. Those. They are. Cool. They're being recorded. I think Jeremy said they're looking at trying to put them up on, archive.org versus putting them up on YouTube. Probably because of some of the recent YouTube VF. But, so that, there's that. And Eric Raymond is a keynote. I think Friday or Saturday, I can't remember which. Daryl Little, he's got a bunch of them. Linux with the side of ham and pie. That's another one I might have to go see. But oh, and Pogo Linux, they usually have been doing a giveaway every year. This year, they're giving a 20 terabyte NAS. Which is like, ooh. That's very interesting. So, blah, blah, blah. But looking forward to that time there.
Mordency says, the NAS is mine, stay away.
Yeah, not if I win it. I can back up all my little 1 and 2 terabyte drives I have, and I won't say get rid of them because it's always nice to have a couple terabytes in your pocket.
That I wonder if Dan can clip that one out later because that was a good one.
Yeah.
So has anybody seen that?
Oh my gosh, Joe talks. Joe really talks.
No, I really don't.
Okay.
At least not when Richard's talking.
Really seen what?
No, has anybody seen that they came out with the Linux on Dex for the S10 now and T-Mobile's offering a buy one, get one package? Still don't know if it's worth
it. Yet.
Even for
so it's a Linux phone? What are we talking about here?
Well, the Linux on Dex is, it's running Android, but it's also made that if you hook it up to a monitor and a keyboard and a mouse, it'll run a full version of Linux. Now, the S9 ran it rather slowly on the, what was it, the Snapdragon 845? But with the updated processor and, you know, the 12 gigs of RAM, I'm wondering if that would do any better.
I don't know. We'll see. Probably here in another. I'm gonna try and wait until the Pixel 4 is released, but my Pixel 2 is it's just getting aged. It still works pretty well, but like certain things, like the camera doesn't work as well as it used to. And
so dude, my next phone is going to fold. It's going to fold and it's going to be tablet sized when it unfolds. It's going to have like 3 or 4 folds in it. It's going to be like an origami swan. and then it's going to fold out into a 27-inch TV.
Right. Yeah. Well,
what do you mean?
If it ever comes out again.
You mean the label that said "Don't peel this off" wasn't a clue?
Well, they actually delayed it indefinitely.
How much has that got to cost?
I don't know. Samsung has not been having a good few years yet.
They had all the pre-release, right? What was it? The S5, S7? I'm sorry, S7 that was smoking up.
The Note 7.
Note 7. Oh, is that why you have a Note 8?
Yeah.
I'm putting a stake in the ground. I am not buying a phone over $1,000. The Note 8 is my last big dollar phone because it was $250 to fix the glass. F you. If anything on the phone costs $250, I'm going to buy another one for $250 and be done with it. That's it. I'm done.
I would say Pixel 3s are actually priced decently now.
Yeah, No more of this crap. I am off the high-end phone crack that you can't sell me on
it. Yeah, the prices are getting insane.
They are.
Yes, I'm tempted with the buy one, get one, but still, that's not much saving, comparatively. Yeah. I mean, it's still $500 or more per phone. It's still going to raise my phone bill because they require you to add a line to get the buy one, get one. It's going to raise my phone bill by like $70 a month.
You see, I won't do that just to get it. I won't add a line just to get another phone. That doesn't happen. Not in my house. But I don't owe that much more on my phone, so it's like, if I waited, it would probably be close to next April, I think, but I think I'm probably going to jump probably around October, I think. But we shall see. We shall see. But, and that's the other thing too, you know, that like the recent stuff they had, like at a WWDC, which they, you know, I don't want to talk about too much more, but they've made changes to iPad. It's getting a specific build of iOS and it's going to be more desktop like. So then like in the devices like the iPad Pros, which are based on USB-C versus Lightning connectors, you can actually finally plug in actual storage and be able to offload stuff by doing that. You know, so like plug in like a thumb drive or something like that. And I think they're adding mouse pointer support finally, which is, you know, Android's had that forever. I don't know what's going to happen with Android nowadays, you know, whether it's going to continue as it's been or whatever, you know, the only people who really care about laptops and stuff like that is folks like us. The rest of the people are either they're buying Chromebooks or, they're just, using the internet on their phone and they don't even want another computer or a tablet.
People are probably still buying laptops. Granted, it's Windows or Apple, but still.
Or $40,000. Well, actually, no. $5,000 is the base Mac Pro, the new cheese grater.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Yeah. Well, like I said, like I don't know if I've talked about it here, but basically, it's not made for us. They're made for companies that are making movies and stuff, and they're trying to lure them in with the beautiful hardware. And so I'm sure some will bite.
Maybe.
That is if they didn't switch to something like Blender or something, or a Creative Cloud or something like that. I should know that, like, the Apple editing tools, Final Cut, the latest Final Cut is not anywhere close to a professional product. It's a prosumer. They kind of went backwards when they brought out the latest releases. So it makes me wonder if they're pointing that at a provider who does, video editing and wants to use it for that. What editor are they going to use? I guess Adobe, but
What'd you say to Rich? He left.
He's probably mini PCing. Only thing I said to him was I didn't like to talk while he was talking.
Which is all the time.
And he probably heard, I don't like it when you're talking, right?
Maybe. I don't know. It didn't seem... He kept talking for a little while after that.
Yeah, it's probably mini PC showtime. What I mean is,
I talked a little bit about self. There's a little bit of Rich and Pat talking about a tea party person. anyway, I was looking at the schedule, and Murph's got two talks this year. He's doing brief introduction to GNU Screen.
That's cool.
And create your CentOS home lab in about an hour.
What's the description of that?
That's it.
Well, that's it.
Yeah. It doesn't go. This is. I'm just looking at the schedule. I don't know if they have the. They might have a detailed one. But
so I'm curious.
Lots of Raspberry Pi stuff there this year.
What is the screen one up against? Like what else is going on at that time?
Okay, let's see. We got. I am gonna attend that one. I'm planning on it anyway. A techie builds tiny home. Slow MySQL database session analysis. This is on Saturday. Open source documentation at YadaDB. Penguin hack continue. Oh, it's a FiberTrack thing. So damn, I'm gonna skip FiberTrack. Living the Linux life in a Windows world by Chuck Fry.
Now, this is not to say that all those other talks wouldn't be interesting, but if
right.
going to a Linux conference and unless I knew Screen in and inside and out, I would absolutely be going to that one. That one, man, but some of those other ones sounded really good too.
The tiny home one's attractive to me, but
well, I don't even know what that is. Like,
basically, you get a trailer, then you build a house on a trailer, and that's your house. You don't have all the crap that we have in our houses now.
I might save that for YouTube.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong; it sounds interesting, but I'm going to a Linux conference for Linux.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Not to say they shouldn't have another track like that, but that would like absolutely.
There are a couple interesting ones with ham radio and the Raspberry Pi that I'm going to probably attend as well.
Now, so you're looking at the schedule online, right?
Yes, sir.
The PDF.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's what I'm going to look at right now, too. I'm not going to let you have all the fun, because you were...
That's a good question.
Oh, I'm looking at Friday. That's why I'm not finding it. Here we go. 10:15
Saturday.
Yeah, 10:15. Wait, is that... That is Murph. Murph NJ, right?
Bob Murphy.
Yeah, why do I... You know what? I just know him as Murph all the time. I didn't realize his first name was. I'm like Bob. That doesn't sound right. I don't remember him being called Bob. But yeah, I guess
I'm gonna have to go see if how many. Like, I'd like. Well, I don't know. The thing is I'd like to learn Docker, but I don't know if I'd even get any use out of it. You know.
Wait,
at least
where's
not
this,
here at home.
Where's his other? Oh, that's the next day.
Yeah, it's the next. That's actually, I think, Sunday, I think of it.
Yeah,
it?
9 to 10 a.m.
Yeah,
up against Make Money
one.
With Open Source from Joel's buddy Noah.
Well, you should learn Docker anyway.
Yeah, getting kids involved in computing. Hidden Dragons of CGO, Hard Lessons Learned from Red and Go Rapper.
I
don't
get to see one of your talks because I get up Sunday morning, I'm heading to Columbus, so...
Oh, man, there's a lot of good talks at that time on Sunday. Oh, that's a tough one.
Well, and I'm with you, but I have to get back because I do have to work on Monday, so I'll probably have to get up and go. But
that's a My Chemical Romance song, isn't it? Get up and go.
I have no idea because I don't listen to that shit. I am gonna be interested in going and stopping by and chatting with Noah. Noah's great. His pocket. If you have not listened to Ask Noah, you need to. It's a great show.
I haven't listened in a while.
They had a preview of Southeast Linux Fest today, and Jeremy was on there. Because I think for some reason, Jeremy's in Greenville, South Carolina, which is kind of like right in Jeremy's neighborhood. We're going to have Jeremy on probably after Self. So. Oh, yeah. And you know, Pogo Linux has the big prize, Dan. They're going to have a 20 terabyte NAS they're raffling off this year.
Man, 20 terabytes, that's more storage than I've had in my entire life.
Ever.
Yeah, my entire life. And I, you know what? That's probably including the computers I've used at work, too. Holy goodness.
Even the servers?
No, the computers I used. I'm not, you know.
Okay.
There's like one server, you know. There's tons of storage. Although, how do you calculate that?
How do you calculate storage in the cloud?
Well, that's it. Would I count the storage in the cloud, or would I just count the storage in the data centers that the company owns?
Right.
So, when we're talking data center, I mean, you know, 20 terabytes, that's like 4K in a data center.
Looks like there might be a Block Friday that I may not have anything I want to see. So I have to look and see what times things are open. I may try and go over and see the couple of things I haven't seen yet. Especially since there's less people that I actually know that will be there. There's Murph, there's Mordancy, and who else? Don't know.
So
technically, I kind of know Noah, but...
Do they actually have... These talks on Friday, are they like... They're not the...
It's a full schedule.
So it is Friday and Saturday and half a day Sunday, huh? No, whole day Sunday. Who am I kidding? Whole day Sunday. So, cause I know like, some places, sometimes conventions, and I think OLF used to do this, like Friday was like the paid classroom type day stuff.
Oh, I get to miss Jeremy's closing talks.
So it looks like with Friday, I mean, there's only two of those kind of tracks, I think. The fiber track and the zero to DBA. Wait.
Yeah.
The fiber track is the knitting
stuff.
And oh yeah, no, that's completely that doesn't cost anything more, does it?
No.
Or is that something where you can pay to get materials?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't knit, so nor do I want to learn.
Why wouldn't you want to know how to knit?
Because I'm a man.
Oh, look at that. I knew that was coming.
I know how to knit. I also know how to sew.
Are you a
saying
man?
I'm not a
I
man.
Know how to sew, but that's it.
Are you a man, Joe, or are you a...
Last time I checked.
He's a lady.
Oh, yeah,
well,
yeah,
Joe,
yeah.
Joe
it sure feels
wants
like
you
I'm
to
a man.
Prove it right now. What's your preferred
no,
messaging application, Joe? Boxer?
Keep that damn thing in your, pants.
Send him a pic. Everybody, send your pics to Joel. Prove that you're a man, right?
No, I just have no interest in knitting, so none at all.
I wish I could sew a lot better
Needle
than
point.
I do. And knitting and all that other stuff, I just never took the time to learn. But
I will say this:
it looks good.
I would be very interested in buying some. They have these machines that they have at the ham fest and stuff where they'll put where they'll stitch your name and stuff on a hat. One might have one of those, which then with the embroidery to board like border things like letters and pictures and stuff on that. But,
as long as you didn't have to actually do the work.
Exactly. If I can hook a computer up to it and have it spit out, you know, kind of like a three you do with a 3D printer, you know. But
You know what? I would love. I should take the time to learn how to knit because you can do some really good stuff, useful stuff.
Oh yeah,
the simple stuff for knitting takes a good. You know, minute and a half to learn if you're slow. The more complex stuff, yeah, that can take a while.
I'd rather learn how to actually crochet because that's what my mom always did. She crocheted. She never got into knitting. But and I do like doing, be able to do things like sewing clothing. And I don't mean just like fixing a zipper or something. I can do that. I'm talking about like making my own stuff, you know.
It's a skill. You should try it.
Because I could definitely get into cosplay and stuff like that. Got the 3D printer. I that's all I need for the props.
Well, just if you want to make your own shirts, talk to Mortensen.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but his shirts are just, you know, screen printing. Of course, you know, he may do others that I don't know about, but I do have,
Were you there when we were talking about his screen printing processes that he had developed?
Probably, yeah.
I think it was at Southeast Linux Fest last year, if I'm not mistaken. It's some really intricate stuff. It's really good stuff.
Yep, I like the ones he did with the brown lettering and the black shirts that we had. Those are done with bleach, so he uses the soft scrub with the bleach. But
Joel's gonna need to get his normal shirt.
Yep. We talk about like a props though. Back in the 90s,
get him a normal shirt.
Back in the 90s, I was it still exists, but it's more like a place for fans to go now than it is an actual store. Because the original owners of the store closed it down. It's called Starbase Columbus. It still exists, but they have very limited hours. And now since there's just not that much Star Trek stuff coming out, not like there was in the 90s, they don't have a lot of new stuff. They have a lot of stuff that people have sold them. I bought a resin kit there of the pad from Star Trek: The Next Generation, and I've got it. I've actually got it here in my hand, and it's pretty neat. It's a dummy. It doesn't have any electronics in it. That might be actually a project for me to do with 3D printers to print off parts and actually put a screen and like a pie in it to make it go. You know. Make it have it make sounds and stuff like that. But it's the pad is kind of like the genesis of touch phones and iPads and stuff like that. So but yep, it looks pretty nice, although I could use some, it's got a couple scratches in the paint. I need to find some more paint and paint it, fill the scratches in. I don't know if it'll match, but I guess it could mask off all the parts that don't need paint and just spray it, spray the outside with gray again. Just so it looks nice. But I have seen there are, models on Thingiverse for, Star Trek pads as well as, tricorders, you know, that you can print out. Most of those, some of them are hollow and they're made for electronics, some of them are not. So, cause I could seriously get into that, making props and stuff like that. And I'd love to learn how to do resin cast things. A lot of people will 3D print whatever they want, and then they'll make a silicone mold and then cast it out of resin so it's a little smoother. You don't see as much of the layer lines in it. And it's also a little bit tougher than a brittle 3D print.
Well, go for it. Might as well learn something new.
Yep. And I've been playing with that. I found a model on Thingiverse where it looks like a little kind of like a almost like a bowl or eyeball on top of a little thing, a little base. And if you turn the bottom of it, it has these leaves that close, kind of like an iris. And that whole thing was printed. I think I shared that up on a couple of them up on a MeWe, I think. But basically, you twist the bottom of it and it closes, and it was all printed with one part, which is pretty nifty. You can also print chainmail with it with your printer too.
You have to snap them apart.
Nope, they print like I've got a bracelet. It doesn't go around my wrist because my wrist is too dang fat because I'm a guy. It's a chainmail bracelet.
Hold on. You're fat because you're a guy?
No, I have a fat arm because I'm a guy.
Oh, okay. Just check.
But yeah, it prints off flat on the bed. Then you just pop it off and it's flexible. And it has a little clamp that'll, snap shut. Like I said, doesn't go around my wrist. My wrist is just too big. Even if I lost weight, it would be too big. But you can print off. There's some models for several different patterns of chainmail on the Thingiverse. So you can print. Now some of them don't look like traditional chainmail patterns. You know, some of them do though. So and those all print flat. You just slice it in Kura and print it, and it comes off and it's flexible. Of course. And speaking of making things, maker stuff, did you guys hear about Make Magazine is pretty much no more?
No, I hadn't heard that.
Yep.
Actually, I don't know much about Make Magazine.
Was that magazine made, printed in the United States, or was that one of the European magazines?
I think it was printed in the United States, but they're the same company who did the Maker Faires.
I know San Francisco. I've seen the magazine. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm trying to find the article. Yeah, the company behind Maker Faire, Make Magazine, shuts down. It happened 4 days ago. And the article said, that came out in May, says, next week's Maker Faire in San Mateo could be the Bay Area's last. So, which is kind of sad.
So the whole company is shutting down, huh?
Yep. Yeah, but I'm trying to remember. Did Phil Tarone write for them, too? I think he did.
Who?
Philip Tarone. I'm trying to remember what he did before he went to Make. I can't remember. But you still have Adafruit. But the thing is, you don't really have a one company that does Maker Faire.
Cut out there.
I wasn't talking, but I lifted up. But founder and CEO Dale Doherty told Business Journal on Saturday that he may try to keep some of what he created going as a nonprofit, but the business he launched 15 years ago and the magazine it published is done.
Was the magazine any good?
The ones I've seen have been. But it's one of those weird ones where I think they only brought out like 4 magazines a year, if I remember right.
Yeah. And anymore, you know, the magazines that I might enjoy reading any of the tech ones, any of the Raspberry Pi ones, Make magazine. 15 or 16 bucks per edition? Why would I pay that when I could just go online?
Yeah, that's crazy. I just don't want that to kill the momentum that Making has. You know, I don't want that to cause places like Micro Center to shut down their 3D printing areas because they have more than 3D printers in that area. They have 3D printers. They have all sorts of science toys and drones and electronic stuff, and all that stuff is very useful and it's needed because you don't have Radio Shack anymore in pretty much any town nowadays.
Well, I would probably say if their services are something you can get on the internet for free, then they're probably okay, you know, if that's not the case. Yeah,
yeah, I think you're right there. I mean, granted, Thingiverse itself is owned by, MakerBot, I think.
So
which was
the print magazine's going away, but is the website going away too?
I think it is.
It'll just be receiving less frequent updates.
Oh, kind of like GigaOM did.
No, that's unfortunate.
Yep. Well, it's that kind of stuff is, you know, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, drives, like, things like Raspberry Pis and stuff like that. I mean, that's what makes it worth, you know, worth getting into that stuff, you know, is watching what people can do with it, you know. And being able to share the designs and stuff, you know, like this chainmail bracelet, and I have the chainmail file I want to print, probably not before I leave tomorrow, but I couldn't design that. I can design a lot of things in 3D, like I've designed a little car tripod that I'll probably use tomorrow, you know, little things like that, that's easy. Like, I designed my own lamp that I have in my office here. It looks kind of like a warp core, you know. Printed out a tux, it's sitting on top of that. You know, I can't design the tux, necessarily. I could, but it wouldn't look that good.
Like the transparent one you printed?
Yep.
There
you go. I printed him real big with no infill, and, I think I'm going to do it again, but I'll wait until I get either some black or some colored filament, because if I add the infill, it's probably going to take, without the infill and like five layers on the outside, it took about 8 hours. But with it, it's probably going to add, I would say 2 to 3 hours, because it's going to be printing some structure, and it kind of needs a structure because the one without any infill, which I haven't posted any pictures of yet. That one actually has some gaps, like in the beak. There's like some holes in it. So
it's hard to tell from the picture that you posted, but is it smooth?
You can actually see the layer lines on that one. I could probably print it at a lower layer height, which would add more layers and add more detail and reduce the layer lines.
Because, you know, I find it interesting because I've seen, you know, you see stuff as they've been printed over the years. And I remember when, like, they had the 3D printers going at OLX and stuff, like, and stuff, like a while ago. And you print them out and they're like, oh, like, this is where the tux. The French Tuxler came from. I mean, it's like rigid and stuff on the sides. It's come a long way since those.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
It's definitely come a long way, and it's not. I wouldn't say it's smooth, but you could take like some automotive putty and automotive primer, in a Shigerow can, and fill those in and make it less apparent. But Now, what I'd really like to get for that kind of, for the kind of little detail kind of things is one of the stereolithography printers. Those are the ones that print essentially with a laser, so you cannot see the laser layer lines and that stuff. But those are smaller printers, and the resin is also pretty toxic. And afterwards, before you can actually handle it, you actually have to cure it with a UV light. And you have to wash it too with like rubbing alcohol and to get all the resin off of it. But those things come out really, really nice. And I've heard people taking rings that they've 3D printed with an SLA printer, and then they'll cast those out of metal, and it actually looks like a really nice ring, you know. Cast out of like pewter or titanium, or, well, probably not titanium, but you know, something that you can melt here at home. Aluminum probably would work, but I would probably just do resin casting for myself if I did that, because those are a little bit easier to handle and not as birdy, you know. But that stuff just interests me to death, because it's like, it's that kind of stuff, like that's the kind of stuff that you know, when Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak were building the Apple computers in their garage, you know, that's that kind of mentality that 3D printing has, and that's why I really enjoy it. My grandpa would have loved the 3D printer myself if he was still here to actually see it. But anywho,
how long did it take you to make that? Is it a box?
Which
the gold silk one?
Yeah, that was about 3 hours. It's not very big now. Granted, I did a test. I didn't actually save the G code. I did like a test slice of the same model, scaled up 200%, and that was probably going to be between. I think it was between 8 and 12 hours on that one. And a lot more filament. So, these are just little ones. You can hold them in your hand. You know, I can hold two or three of them in my hand, actually. But,
so how many pieces is that?
That's one piece. It all printed as one piece.
Wait.
Yep. You print it as one piece. How does it do that?
Yeah.
Well, basically, it's how you design it. So it prints in layers, right? So it, you know, builds up from bottom to top. So the what they did was for the leaves, there was actually four open notches in the bottom of it, and each leaf is attached to the actual base. The base that rotates with basically they model in these little tabs, and you just cut them off with either a hobby knife, or I actually have a little spudger I stick in there and just break them loose. And then I take the same spudger and kind of stick it between the leaves at the top. Those print with enough space in between that they don't attach to the walls, either the inside wall or the outside wall. All right. So once you have those tabs broken in the bottom, you just turn it, and then it shuts. And you have to the initial one doesn't. It's not, you know, it's not like you just pop it off and it just works. So you have to do a little bit of post processing, but it's a very little bit.
You got to knock off tabs, is what you're saying.
Yep.
I'm still like very impressed. I mean, that is.
Yeah, isn't it neat?
That is well, like.
Even better though, I mean, this is one that the model has been, I haven't printed it yet. It's been around, for a few years ago, but it was, modeled by the company Made in Space for the International Space Station. They have a 3D printer on the space station, and they call back down the mission control and says, we really could use a socket wrench. So they modeled it and the space station printed it. And it prints basically, it's a one way, it doesn't have the little switch in it so that you can switch directions. Okay, so I think it only tightens. Alright, but technically, you can probably mirror the actual model so that you have one that tightens and one that loosens. But it prints in one part. And all you got to do is when it's done, you just kind of grab the business end of where the socket would go, and you just kind of twist it a little bit, and then there you go. You got a socket wrench. So that kind of stuff is just really interesting. That one, this one, and then there's another one I haven't printed yet, which is a platform jack. So it prints on its side, all right? And then once it's done, basically same kind of deal. There's probably some tabs here or there. You just kind of work it through, and it'll raise up and raise down just like a jack. So, and it's all printed in one part. You don't have to assemble anything. So that's the kind of stuff that you can do with 3D printing, and it's really cool, I think. That's kind of one of the reasons I'd like to go to MRF next year, and I don't mean MRF's house, but the Midwest Rep Rap Festival in Goshen, Indiana. There are artists / 3D printing enthusiasts that go there. Like one of the, I think it was on Thomas Van Latter's channel, they had a guy there that he basically, what he would do is he'd start a print and then he would pause it partway through after he got like a little bit of the print printed. Then he'd lay a piece of fabric on top of that and then, start the printer back up. And the 3D printed sections would be embedded into the fabric as it printed, which is pretty dang cool. So that's something I haven't tried yet.
But it sounds cool.
But you can do. I mean, I can imagine you can make some pretty nifty cosplay kind of things with a 3D printer and that kind of technique. So. It's one of those things that's just techie enough, that tickles my technical interests, but then it also tickles the creative part of my mind, and I start to think of, well, what can I do with it, you know? Like, I've printed things the one I picked wasn't long enough, but I printed a container, for holding your toothbrush when you're traveling. Stuff like that, you know, model hooks that I got hanging on my wall in my office here. You know, I don't buy those little, I buy more 3M command strips than I buy the actual hooks that are designed to go with them. Just easier for me to design the hook exactly how I want it, print it, and by the command strip, slap it on it and put it on the wall. In fact, if you see the picture of Tux there, the what he's sitting on is a gold silk box that I actually made on the printer.
Oh, and then, handover's about to start.
Handover? What's handover? Is it show?
No, as in a handover from one group of people to another group of people that are doing monitoring. I didn't realize my mic was still on. I thought I had shut it off.
Oops. Oh, that's a work-related thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I printed a little box of that. That's what Tux is sitting on. And I have that it's actually stuck on my wall in my office here. So, you know, I really wanted to redesign my DVAP case, because what I would like to do is just remove the DVAP itself. The radio piece of that came with its own case when you bought it. And I just want to take the board out and print my own custom case so that I can basically just lay the board side by side so I can have like the Pi and the radio board right next to each other. And then to kind of make it a little bit more streamlined. But haven't gotten around to designing that yet. So. Actually, should take that Tux one. bring in a Tinkercad and put a little hole in the bottom, then I can make a lamp out of them. Glow in the dark tux. So how's your work thing, Dan? Is everything okay?
Not yet. It was, well, I jumped in, gave information. That was about all I could do because I'm more on operations than on the development side. So I kind of have an idea of, I know what the problem is, but I needed someone who was a little more on the development side and more in with the data to weigh in on what the problem is and what their recommended method for fixing is. Stuff I would like to learn more about, which is why I jumped in on up there. But I don't know. But it wasn't anything that I did, thankfully.
That's good.
Because I'm like, it looks like the document's missing from Couchbase. And I look, it's not in the east and it's not in the west. So it's not an XDCR issue, and I don't think it's a data integrity issue. Something went wrong.
It is your problem, but it's not your problem.
Yeah, but it's not, I don't think it was something that I did that caused the problem. Because last week we had Couchbase issues, like I had said, causing an outage. And so, see, here was the bummer of it. So I put in two tickets with Couchbase support. One was ticket when we were having the issues, the partial outage. And the other one was follow-up ticket that I had noticed that our XDCR was having issues. So to fill in the timeline a little better, what happened was on Tuesday, we were scheduled to do the swap rebalance and replace the 553 nodes with 554. And it was reported to me that sometime during the night, alerts started going off that there was a disparity in the number of documents between East and West Couchbase buckets. And I had looked at the problem and identified, based upon previous issues and having spoken with Couchbase support, a similar pattern of West saying that replication on these nodes had not, outbound replication had stalled at like 0-30% or something like that. So it was lagging behind. It wasn't happening. And I followed the process that I had done before and it didn't resolve the problem. And the next step was to replace that node, because it seemed like that node was having a problem. And that's what my swap rebalance process would have done, is replace the node and then would have started restarted the XDCR process and had gone through all the documents again to verify that everything was sent, that during this period nothing was lost. And when that process had completed and there were two nodes now that were showing problems with XDCR, I had sent to Couchbase. And that person had jumped on the next day and we took a look at these and he had said, showed me another place to look, which was now an indication that the problem was on the eastern side, not on the western side where in the past we would see that behavior. It was on the eastern side. There was a node on the eastern side that was not writing data to disk anymore. And they couldn't, there wasn't a clear reason why something bad was happening. And the recommendation after we couldn't figure out what was going on, tried a bunch of different things to rectify this, The situation that we were in was that since none of the documents that have been processed were written to disk, if we would restart the node, we'd lose all the documents that had not been written to disk, which ultimately wasn't a huge problem because East happened to be our passive region and all the information was coming primarily from West and crossing over in XDCR. So our West environment cluster was fine and it was, it had all the documents. We wouldn't lose anything because it would just reestablish XDCR and can be recreated. So he had said what we needed to do is stop the XDCR on both ends from east to west and west to east. Then we need to swap, rebalance a new node in on the east to replace this one and then reestablish XDCR from east to west, which is, we know west is good. So east to west would catch up really fast because there's nothing to transfer, and then reestablish XDCR from west to east. And that solved that problem. But once that issue was resolved, I had asked him, the guy that I was speaking with, I said, look, is it possible that the problems that we saw in East causing a backup in XDCR could have contributed to the outage that we experienced in the environment, in the West environment the day before? And while he could not definitively say that was the case, it is a possibility. So I think right now what I'm kind of weighing towards is that issue caused a problem that there was a backup in the XDCR, put a little additional pressure onto the cluster because it couldn't transfer the files information over, so it was still having to carry it, and then cause some kind of overall pressure on the cluster that just a swap rebalance threw it over, and there was no whole other problem. I don't know how the problems that we saw and I identified and reported to Couchbase, this could have happened like that. Doesn't make much sense. I'm still waiting to hear back from Couchbase. One of the things that they had asked me, which was very unfortunate, is their node client, which is just a Node.js applications that we use, their node client has a debug built into it that you can turn on the debugging by passing an environmental variable, and you would get verbose output in your logs from the client. Unfortunately, and to be able to do that, at the time, now this information was requested a day after the incident. So at the time, we would have had to respin our containers with that variable in there on the application to be able to get that information in the login to show, which didn't seem very practical at, you know, to be able to do something like that, given that we were seeing an outage. On top of that, this could have been going on in a couple of different applications. Because they all use, there's like a handful of them that interact with Couchbase and all users, so they would all have to have that turned on. Not an easy lift in a production environment. Anyway, that was it in regards to my issue still lingering from last week, trying to figure out what the cause was. I have to do a post-mortem on it. Do you guys do post-mortems at work?
Yes, it depends on how severe the incident is.
Is it the blameless postmortem?
I don't think they call it a blameless postmortem. They just call it a postmortem or an after action or whatever else. And, you know, I haven't seen anybody specifically just point their finger at somebody and say it's their fault. No.
See, in my case, it usually is. Well, no, it's not necessarily.
It's your fault?
No, I won't say it's not usually my fault, but usually with us, it's like we get what they call an escalation. So I may have to go in, like, they may have to have us redo work or something like that. You know, like, here's from, like, one case I had to happen where I actually had to do that, where it actually didn't. It wasn't anything that I did, but went in, did an install, min-install went great, you know, turned it over to the client. 2 months later, they had a virus attack the server, so I had to come back in and set it up for them again. So that one was one of those cases where in those both cases it was billable twice. But some the bad things are was when we have to do work for free because we screwed up, which doesn't normally happen for our group. We only have 3 guys on my team, and we're all pretty good with what we do. So it's rare that we get escalations. But back in the day, we were in that position where we would have postmortems. We definitely did have those, and they were mostly blameless in most cases, unless it was really serious. You know, like there's the one time, the one and only time I ever got wrote up was one of my coworkers screwed something up, and I was trying to help him fix it, and I got a write up as well, even though I was just trying to help him fix the problem, fix the screw up.
So, they should have fired you right on the spot, Joel. Right on the spot.
That guy doesn't even manage that department anymore. He still works there, but he doesn't manage that area. But mostly it's blameless. Now, the other thing that we did too, when, I worked for the college. We also did disaster walkthroughs where we would go into our room. We would talk about, okay, you know, this happened on campus. We need to get everything up and running at our secondary site. What do you need to do? You know, those are stressful, actually. because you got the guy. You basically have to describe everything that's in the plan. So you have to know that, okay, well, we're going to meet here, we're going to go there, we're going to talk about this, we're going to restore here, we're going to do that, and you have to kind of review that. We also would do actually mock versions of that too. When I was there, they just started doing mocks. I don't know if they do them anymore, but they just started doing mock recoveries and where we would actually test our recovery. Because what good is a disaster recovery plan if it doesn't work? So you have to test those things.
ARC testing?
Yep.
Yeah, we do that.
So both desk walkthroughs as well as actual doing it. Just to, you know, to test everything. Luckily, you know, in most cases, you just have to go to the backups, restore it up there, and see if you can bring it up. And at that point, you brought it up, then you basically take it down up there, then bring the primary back up. Now, I don't know how they've done it now since they switched. Since I was there, I'm pretty sure they got rid of all their AIX box and switched to SQL. So, because power ain't cheap. Power hardware, that is.
What are you going to do?
And my favorite, too, is I do scoping calls, too. And, like, today, we have our sales department have them fill out a questionnaire before we meet with them. And I get the questionnaire yesterday, and the first question in there says, we want to keep our colleague running on the HPU Xbox but switch to SQL, and I'm like, sorry, you can't do that. Technically you probably could do that, but it's not supported, at least for on-prem installations. You know, you're like, when we do migrate like a client who's on-prem to SQL, then we have to basically move them to everything. So it has to be, we basically do a whole, from ground up, a brand new blank install with no data. Then they have to migrate the data and migrate their customizations over. So, and it's all from the Unix infrastructure to the Windows infrastructure. And we have our own tools to do that. Scoping, probably my least favorite thing is because a lot of times the clients want you to get the scope as correct as possible, and they want you to put in there that, like I had one that says, can you put in there a line that says, it won't go any higher than X? It's like, well, we can't really do that, but once we get to the point where we used up all the hours that we scope, we may have to talk about a change order so they can add more hours if they need more hours. Otherwise, the project stops. At least in our case.
What happens if the... So what happens if have you ever come to the point where you've gone through that and then it's still not finished? And they're like, what do you do?
Rarely. Rarely. Yeah. In most cases, we overscope on purpose. Just so we don't run into that problem. We don't overscope. We don't want to overscope too much, of course. But the way it works, we do overscope. You know, we only charge what we
bill. You said this would take 20 hours. You were here for a half hour left. It was finished. What the heck?
Yeah, well, we're not going to bill them that. Yeah. Sometimes that happens, but, you know, we only bill them, like, if it only took a half an hour and they scope 20, well, that's all we bill, you know. It's only fair.
Oh, no.
Time and materials.
What you gotta do, gotta do, gotta do.
Well, I hope it's finished raining before I leave tomorrow.
Oh, has it been raining there like crazy?
No, it just started this afternoon. Like, I went out to clean the junk out of the car, like a trash, and I had my old winter coat was still in the car because wherever we were, I wore my winter coat and then I got too hot, so I whipped it off and threw it in the back seat, and it's still back there since like February.
Hey, so you're leaving tomorrow morning?
Yep, pretty much.
So you're gonna be Thursday. You're gonna be there Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. You're coming back Sunday, huh?
Yep.
Big friend, man.
What was the the food trucks that they had? I can't remember which ones.
All right, guys, I'm gonna have to get going.
All right, take it easy.
See you, Joe. Yeah, we need to wrap soon anyway.
Wasn't one like a sausage one or something?
Yeah, there's a hot dog one.
Yeah, a hot dog one. It had sausage there too.
Yeah.
That's the only one I remember, because when I went out there, they had, the first day, they were, I don't remember. They had left.
There is pretty much nothing, like walking distance away. I mean, there's stuff that's not too far away. There's that Chinese buffet, which I don't know if I want to go to that. It was okay. You know.
Wait, you went there?
Yeah.
The Ichiban one? Was that the one across the highway? I mean, across the bridge?
I think so, yeah.
Because I was going to say, I mean, technically speaking, depending on how, like where you work or whatever, you know, how you do lunches at work and stuff.
Right.
Like the walk from there to one of those, to that Chinese place, the Ichiban, isn't really that far. It's probably like, I think a half mile maybe.
Yeah, but the last thing I need to do is go eat some sketch Chinese and get sick.
Yeah, then have to walk back. At a hotel where you're like 6.5 hours away from home. But yeah, it's a weird thing because the hotel, when you get off the exit and cross the bridge, go down, into where the hotel is, you're not that far from Ichiban, but it goes down like this hill and it's all like trees around it and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it it's hard to see anything that's actually in the area and around.
There's that gas station that's right that you can see from the parking lot, the Shell station there where you
Yeah, it's got like a Miller Mart.
Didn't
or something
you guys
like
make
that.
A beer run in there once?
Yeah, we got, I got a six pack of some, Mexican, it starts with a J, I can't remember what it is now, and Chad got a 12 pack of Michelob Ultra.
Joy.
That was that.
Some days I miss drinking beer and stuff, and most days I don't. It's not like a drink to get drunk, you know.
Yeah. I guess we better wrap it up.
Yup. Gotta finish packing and may run to the store to get some road trip snacks.
You make any Chex Mix?
I did not. I just didn't feel like heating up the house. I usually make that in the fall nowadays.
What time are you leaving tomorrow morning?
Well, basically when I get up.
What time do you usually get up?
Probably 8, 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
Which would be, my alarm's usually set for 7, but I rarely will get up right at 7. I'm one of them stupid habitual snooze button perv people, you know?
No, I hear what you're saying.
When I don't have to be at the laptop till 8:30, if I roll out of bed at 8 o'clock, that gives me enough time to go take care of business in the morning, grab a cup of coffee, and go.
Today was my late morning for working out. I didn't have to get up till 5:30 because the Y doesn't even open till 5:30. I think, unless I was mistaken on the time. Because they seem to be awfully packed by the time, not packed, but there seems to be people in there by the time I get.
Yep.
Get into there. And I thought they said it was 5:30. Yeah, it's 5:30 a.m. So.
I do got to run to the bank, too, because I want to get some cash before I leave. Because I definitely need cash because I got to go on a West Virginia Turnpike where you have to stop and throw them some bucks.
They don't have Easy Pass or whatever?
Why would I have an Easy Pass? I never drive anywhere that needs a toll.
I don't know. I didn't know if there was tolls in Ohio and stuff.
There are. Turnpike in Ohio is mostly up north, right across by Cleveland. So here in Central Ohio, there's no turnpike. There's no tolls.
Yeah, I hit toll roads every couple of times a year. So.
Yep. Yep, and then next month we're driving to Detroit, so.
Detroit.
Specifically Sterling, Michigan, which I believe is ShopRat's old stomping ground.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
So, he lives in Nashville now.
Good for him. I guess I better play this out, 'cause you gotta get to bed.
Yep.
Alright, so here we go, your promos and the outro, and then have a happy. Have a safe trip, Joel.
Oh my god, it's
Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Jack Attack Podcast. Where chic,
oh dear,
meets geek.
Ones and zeros, ones and zeros, ones and zeros.
Powered by Linux.
Linux.
You buy fun. Recorded in Windsor, Nova Scotia. With your hosts, John Watson. And Kelly Penguin Girl.
A girl?
A girl.
A girl?
It's the Jack Attack. That's the JAKattack.com. Time well wasted.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduk to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
There we go.
I printed that little eyeball thingy in transparent filament. It's not completely see-through, but you can kind of see where the leaves go.
Are you going to post the picture?
It's hard to take pictures of the transparent. That, like I said, my phone, that's one reason why I'm probably going to be upgrading my phone early is because the camera in my phone is, I don't know if it's broken, but like close focus I usually can't do. If I just, like a normal picture is fine. You know, I don't know why, but just doesn't focus close in good anymore. Not as good as it used to.
All right, time to stop recording, Joel. Say goodnight.
Good night. And this I will share right now, just because it's not really show content. They're gonna start rotating our team every 3 months through our cloud team, so that we can learn what they do and so they can learn what we do.
Huh? That's
cool. And I'm the first one that's doing it. So
congratulations.
Yep, because our cloud product is quite a bit different than our regular on-prem client product. The app server in our cloud can be Linux, while the database server is actually Amazon RDS currently. Using Redis and a whole bunch of other cloud-based stuff. Hopefully I get to learn some of that.
That sounds pretty neat.
Yeah, but I have some notes that I took, it was last year, I think, when we were down in Lake Mary. And my head was spinning then, and I'm like, I couldn't believe how they got to work, but they did. Oh, and they're probably going to be working on, it's not official, but they're going to work on trying to migrate to Amazon Aurora. Which is Postgres based. Well, Postgres are MySQL. Yeah, I'll start it. And I had to wait until today to find that out. I got this email from my resource manager. She's the one that does all the, like, doles out all the assignments and keeps track of our calendars and all that stuff. And she sends me this email. They're having me move all this stuff. I'm like, any idea why? And she's like, nope, I'm just doing what I was told. I'm like, oh, great. Do I have a job? Because it was like 2 months worth of stuff. It's good though. It really, really needs to happen though, because they operate very differently and they don't really have a lot of people that have the actual products experience that, our team has. So they know what they know and that's all they know. They don't know whether what they're doing is right or not. So that's good.
There you go.
And I got some Linuxy goodness to talk about the PowerBook too.
Oh yeah, so
well, I saw bits. I didn't.
As in, no matter what I do, I can't get the thing to browse worth of shit on today's web. But it is more up to date, so we'll talk about that.
Cool.
Single core processor nowadays just can't do anything. Unless you're running it on websites that were designed in 1995.
Dun, dun, dun,
dun. And futzing around with a 3D printed chainmail bracelet.
I should get to fixing my 3D printer.
Yeah, what's holding that up?
Laziness.
Shame on you.
Well, at least
you.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Shame on you, Joe. Shame.
You got the parts, right?
Yeah, the parts are in.
Yeah, it's like I printed off for the Z-axis, I printed off basically two pieces. It's one's a replacement for the top piece, and then the other is a basically a knob that goes onto the Z-axis so I can manually crank up the Z-axis. And, just haven't taken it apart to put it on yet.
Yeah.
Because it's working, so.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a very long fix. I mean, two wires and an Allen wrench.
Mm-hmm. I need to get some more filament. I'm starting to run low. I got transparent, little bit of blue left, and the green silk. I used up all my gold.
I used up the green. I got some blue. I got some glow in the dark. I got some clear. And
I forgot I got some E-Sun wood too yet. I need to order a spool of the Hatchbox thin wood, because my understanding is the E-Sun wood won't actually take a, well, the stain experiment I tried kind of worked, but the hatchbox wood filament is supposed to take stain a lot better. I think it actually has more wood in it. Plus you can play around with temperature on its own, kind of change the color just by changing the temperature you're printing at. I think if you print at a higher temp, that it'll kind of burnish it a little bit as it's printing.
Yeah.
But not on the E-Sun. The E-Sun just comes out straight out, like almost like yellowish kind of color.
Hey, Pat.
Hello, hello. Oh, you're really low.
That's because he's not eating his mic. That's all.
How about now?
Better? All right, that's better.
Pat's got a wedding to go to Saturday, right?
Joy. I fucking hate weddings.
It depends.
They're
good.
Pain in the ass.
The bad thing is if you don't wear, like, their suit and tie and or any dress clothes and haven't worn it in a long time. 9 times out of 10, something like that or a funeral comes up and you gotta get dressed up and you gotta go buy some new shit because the old stuff that either is wore out or don't fit. Especially if you don't wear it every day. And don't fit can go both ways, either because you lost weight or because you gained weight. Parents be losing their shit nowadays. Mom arrested for confronting son's bullies at school.
How's the bowling going?
I don't know. I didn't go Sunday and I didn't go last night. Got all my pit stops, which aren't going to be many, but all those are programmed into my car's GPS now. Got to eat lunch in West Virginia at Biscuit World.
Sodium World, right?
Probably.
Wow.
Ah, well, it'll have sandwich. I'm going to get the same sandwich I got last time, which is a biscuit with an egg, cheese, bacon, and a hash brown on it.
Partridge and a pear tree.
And a heart attack in it.
Nah, that won't come until later.
About 10 minutes.
I need to try it. Check out Whiskey River when I'm down there in North Carolina. That's Dale Jr.'s restaurant.
So, how long is the trip for you? Is it 9 hours or is it 10?
About 6.5.
Oh, it's only 6.5.
It took me 9 hours to go home last time because of construction.
Oh, I know why I know why. That's like the drive you're making down to Charlotte is almost like the drive I make when I go back up to Pennsylvania, because you're just going straight down, which is...
Yeah, I'm going like US 23, which is like, you know, right, like that's the street where all the restaurants are, by my house, where the Cozy Inn and all that is.
Yeah.
And US 23 down south through Circleville and all that, and the 35, which goes through, Rio Grande, Rio Grande, Ohio. And,
Galloway. Only 6 hours and 15 minutes from where I am now.
What, Columbus is, or?
Atlanta.
Atlanta. Oh, you're in Atlanta?
No, I'm in Orlando.
Oh, okay. Whatever. But then, that 35 then connects up with, I believe, 64, which then connects up to 77 and goes the rest of the way down. And, there's a couple tunnels, that you hit like right at the West Virginia border, and the northbound side only on the way back up had construction, so those tunnels were cut down to one lane, added an hour and a half. Plus then my GPS got it led me a different way home. Still got home, but I think next time I'm just gonna try and stick to the same route I go down, because that route's better anyway. A little bit of a two lane, but not too much.
I guess we better start the show. We can start it on time since we're paying attention.
Yes.
All right.
I'll talk a little bit about Southeast Slugs Fest.
We also got to talk about the Quentin Tarantino Star Trek project.
I heard it was sweary.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, damn cat, get out of the way.
What episode is it? It's the next episode, right?
That's right. I heard Dark Phoenix tanked.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
The next X-Men movie?
Yeah, I was going to say X-Men movie. Hopefully last one before the before Marvel takes it over.
Is that before the V-Man?
The V-Man. No, I think that this is the last X-Men from Fox.
Wait, who owns X? Oh, Fox has X-Men, and now Marvel's taking it over.
Yeah, Fox. What was it?
20th so they're just going to screw the pooch before Marvel takes it over. Is that it?
Oh man, they bombed really hard.
Who has Spider-Man right now? Because there's been so many Spider-Man movies.
It's a joint. It's still a joint between Marvel and Sony, from what I understand. They don't have like the complete rights yet.
They will though.
It didn't Disney buy Marvel, or what's the scoop on that?
No. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Correct.
So Disney acquired Marvel. Oh gosh.
They don't Fox now.
Does that mean when I go to Universal Studios, I'm paying Disney? I'm paying Eisner.
I think so. I you paying Disney?
Hercules.
Ah. Gotta do the stream.
He's barking at something, ain't he?
Of course, everything. He's always barking at something.
Cats and dogs sleeping together.
Yeah, my dog usually barks if someone's at the door or something, but the other day she just started barking.
You have a dog?
I have a dog. Her name's Sassy. She's really old. But she just started, she pointed her nose at the door and was barking like somebody was there. I look from my kitchen and I can see my front door mostly. And I'm looking and I'm like, there ain't nobody there, Sassy. And she's just going, woof, woof. And her barks are more sound than she's not going to bite you. Hell, she'll bark at you when the door's closed, and then you come in and she starts wagging her tail and starts licking your hand. My nutty dog. Of course, Dan's dog thinks he's a lap dog. But he's like probably about your waist level tall. He's a big boy.
All right.
Get your act together. And let's get a count.
No, you know what happens?
You forget how everything works week to week.
There you go.
No. What just happened 3 minutes ago?
You farted.
Nope. What did Joel say?
You sharted?
Joel said something that requires me to pull the audio and grab it out of there.
Start the stream.
Because I heard a lot of lickety-lickety in there.
Oh, what are you talking about when I was talking about my dog licking your hand? Yeah.
There we go. So now we got to cut the audio out, because that's some prime stuff.
I told my wife about you playing the clip where she's going, shut up. she thought we're making fun of her. I'm like, we're not. We're laughing with you, dear. She's like, no, you're not. You're making fun of me.
No, I'm not like, making no, fun of you. I think it's awesome when she says it.
Well, I told her, it's just one of those things where you just said it at the exact right time. That's a stupid. I think she's probably doing that to the cats because their cats will get annoying.
Ay, 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 ay.
Once you hit a certain age, you become permanently unimpressed by a lot of crap. True. Wish Link could call Mom, but he's probably on his way home from work.
I thought he worked from home.
What's that? No, no. I thought Link worked from home. He does sometimes, but he mustn't have been lately because one of his motorcycles went up in smoke.
Front row.
That's never good.
Yeah, he said there was fire under the seat.
Goldwing?
I think it was his. He had a Harley. He probably bought it as an auction because it looked like it was an old CHP bike.
Oh, cool.
Ay, ay, ay.
Our user group next year is in Orlando.
What user?
Not like
group
I'll get
that?
To go. It would
is
be,
that like Alcoholics Anonymous?
No, it would be called E-Live, which is short for Elution Live.
I'll go in your place.
You don't want to go.
Is there going to be free food?
Only if you pay. It's only $1,600, I think, if I remember right. Not counting airfare.
Why would I need airfare? I just got to, like, walk to the corner. What are you talking about?
Last dollar for me, if I paid to go. Now, the company would send me if I could come up with more than one
topic.
You'd
fly a plane from Ohio to Orlando? Come on, I've done that.
Yes, I would. Yes, I would, because the company
would be. How
would
you get all your guns across the country? I mean, you know, the airlines just kind of frown on that.
Well, you actually have to have one first, and I don't have one yet.
Oh, you don't have the same problem I do, then.
Yeah. And the operative word is yet. Someday I will. But...
See, if you come down to Orlando, I'll take you out.
There's one in the clip there, Dan.
Take there you out to go. The range.
Mm-hmm. That's not what you said, though.
All right.
Dan, did you finish cutting everything together?
Yep. Yeah, sorry.
Are you going to cure cancer?
Nope.
Because Joe Biden is, if he gets like, oh my God, cancer will never be cured now.
And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wants a raise.
Of course she needs a raise. I mean, every bartender needs a raise.
And then you come in, she starts wagging her tail and starts licking your hand.
All right, let's start the show. I might have to run and go do something for work.
Uh-oh. What?
Yeah, I just got a Slack message.
Did you break stuff again?
Yes, he did.
I broke a lot of shit, man. Not intentionally. I could talk about that.
It's
later.
Just shit.
Now it is.
Yeah.
YouTube's been having problems this week too. But Google
haven't been having any problems.
No. And I'm not even talking about Crowder.
Or Vox.
Or me.
Yeah.
Alright.
Oh, they kick you off?
Not YouTube, Facebook.
Again?
Facebook kicked you off? You got a nasty gram from the Zuck?
Yes, I'm violating community standards.
Alright. Ready, Dan?
Yeah.